happen to look up, and there are two very good-sized daddy long legs right above my shower. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. And so, you know, they just show up everywhere. So I'm like, well, I don't have a fly swatter. What am I going to do? Well, I had a washcloth, and I was like, all right, well, this is the best weapon I got, some washcloth. So I start swatting, to which one of them goes sailing off, and I'm like, oh, gosh. And now I'm like, because the bathroom's not very big. It's kind of small. So I'm like, it's in my hair. So I look in the mirror, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's a thing in my hair. It wasn't in my hair. And so I'm, like, looking all around the bathroom. Where is he? Well, he got caught up in the drain. So thankfully the water's run. He goes down the drain. The second one, same thing happens. He goes sailing off, and I just had to, like, barefoot and all just squash. So, yeah, you just work with what you got. You know what I'm saying? You just got to, whatever the thing is, just take them out, right? I do not want a spider with me in the shower. So they were going down some way, shape, or form. So today we are talking about spiritual battles, not physical battles, not spiders. We're talking about spiritual battles. And unlike the spider that I can see, a spiritual battle are things that we cannot see. I am a mom and a wife, pastor's wife, but I'm also a personal trainer. And a lot of times I get clients and they're like, I want to have better balance. I want to have greater flexibility, whatever the thing is. And those things take time and they work slow. They work steady, but they work from the inside of our bodies and they come out. So if I want my heart stronger, I got to walk a little bit faster, and it works from the inside. And then I see results on the outside. And our spiritual life is a lot like that. Spiritually speaking, we can't always see the thing we're fighting, but if we will keep on and use the weapons that God gives us, then we will be able to fight and be successful. So I've got a few pictures I want to show to you today. Paul's got them to throw up here on the screen. Oh, do you know what that is? A fishing rod, okay. All right, what's the next one? Trap. Yeah, you might catch like a raccoon or like a skunk. Anybody? We had some friends that had to catch skunks at one point. All right, let's see what else we got.
A mouse trap.
Yep. Okay, got another one. Hey, good. I'm glad you knew that. I got this one more, and I think it might be a little tricky. What kind of bee? Carpenter bee. A carpenter bee. It's a very specific kind of. That's, yes. That's right. So we have all these different kinds of traps. And when you use a trap, the intention is either you're trying to capture something or you're trying to kill something. And just like these traps that I showed you today, our enemy in our key verse comes to do what? That's right. But guess what? I have really good news for you. For those of us who are daughters of the King, right? For those of us who have accepted Christ into our life and chosen to follow him each and every day that he gives us, he tells us in his word that nothing can snatch us out of his hand. We are his forever. Forever we are part of God's family. However, there is an enemy that wants to stir things up, that wants to create a little bit of havoc in our day-to-day living. So it's the day-to-day fight that even as daughters of the King, we can't be blind to the fact that we have an enemy that's wanting to take us out. He doesn't want us to be near the Father. He doesn't want our relationship to grow. He doesn't want us to thrive, right? I've heard Angel and Angela say it this week. We can't just survive, we must thrive. And that is worth repeating. We can't just survive in this life. God doesn't want that for us. He wants to thrive. And we will thrive when we use the weapons that he has given us. So if you have your copy of God's word, you can go ahead and turn to our passage. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. So go ahead and as you're moving there, I also want to remind you of something really important. As we looked at those different traps, you notice that the traps are different for different kinds of creatures. They're not all the same. If I took a fishing pole and threw it out for a bear, I might like get a hook in his toe, but am I going to hurt him? No. I could take a carpenter bee trap and hang it in the water, are the fish going to do anything? Maybe a tadpole? I mean, like, and he may not even like the wood, right? So, do you have a question? Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So, what you need to know is that your enemy knows your weakness. My weaknesses are not the same as yours. Yours are not the same as your neighbor's. And just like the traps are different for different kinds of animals, our traps, the things that are going to hang me up and the things that are going to hang Angel up and the things that may hang up Paul are going to be different. So we have to be mindful. We have to know, we have to be honest about who we are, our hang-ups, but then we have to really know our enemy. And our eyes and ears, spiritually speaking, have to be continually open to his traps. But more than that, we've got to know how to fight. We can't fight with the washcloth that I was swinging around this morning. It doesn't matter how many times I go for a run. Those are not going to help me spiritually speaking. I have to pick up God's weapons, the things that he has given me, and use those wisely. So let's look at our verses. Let's look. It's Ephesians chapter 6, and we're in verse 10. We're going to read to 17. So here we go. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, that's a key word, stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, that is a key word if you like to underline in your Bible or make a square. The other morning I talked to you guys about how I like to make squares around, like, so that. Here's another one I would square. Therefore. Therefore. It is right at the start of verse 13. Therefore. So that is a key word. Underline, square, highlight, do something. Therefore. That means you better pay attention because we got more information coming. Take up the whole armor of God, not a piece, not a part, not the piece that's convenient, but the whole thing. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, we're in verse 14, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, everybody say all circumstances. That's right. All circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Tagging on verse 18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Would you pray with me? God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you have called us to stand. We thank you that you have given us the power because of who you are and because you are victorious. We can stand in your victory. I thank you for the weapons that you've given us. And I pray that today we would put on the full armor of God and not shy away from any of the schemes of the devil. But God, we would stand firm in your victory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so be strong in the Lord, in his strength, not our own. We can try to pull ourselves up. We can try to fight on our own. Like I gave you the example earlier, we could try to run harder or lift more weights or just think better thoughts, but that's really not going to help us. We need to put on God's full armor. Verse 13 says, take up the full armor so that you may be able to stand against the devil's schemes. Why do you think, this is for you to think to yourself, not necessarily say out loud, but think about, why is it that we are the bullseye? Why is the devil so after us? Why is he not after you? You can just think about it. You don't have to, I'm going to give you a second. Just kind of think. Why is it that he doesn't care about, why is he so intent on rattling our cage, prodding us each and every day, stirring up our hearts, creating fractions and causing problems with our peers. Why is that? We talked about it last night. What did the Imago Dei, does anybody remember Imago Dei? What does it mean? We are created in, yes. That's right, in God's image. That is why. Because we are the closest thing to God that he can get. And he knows that if he can rattle our cage day to day, if he can shake us up, then we are not as close as to God as we need to be. So we've got to be able to stand and to recognize that he is out for us. The second thing I want you to know is not only that we are the bullseye and it's because we are God's prized creation, but also notice the posture of standing. It said it in the verses we read. It said stand at least three times. Stand, stand firm, stand. Why is it that we should stand? Because in standing, you have a posture of confidence and authority. Now, it's not confidence and authority because of who we are. It is confidence and authority in who Christ is. And because we know, as Angel told us the other morning, that he has already claimed the victory. There will be a day where Jesus will come back, that we will have a new heaven and a new earth. Sin will be gone. Death will be gone. All the troubles and things that we are facing today, illnesses and all, will be gone. So we have to hold on day to day. Day to day we are fighting and we are standing because we know that these little things that are causing us trouble are temporary. They're going to go away and they're simply just to keep us from the nearness and the goodness of God. So you have to fight. You have to stand. You can't shrink back. You can't cower in the corner. You can't hide behind your mom or your dad or your best friend. You've got to stand on your own. So let's pick up these weapons that God has given us. All right, so number one, we learn about the belt of truth. Okay, why is the belt of truth important? The belt of truth is important because it guards the things right in the middle. What anchors us, what holds us tight, what's in the middle. Ancient times, men wore robes on a day-to-day basis. But when they would go to fight, they would take those robes and wrap them around because they had a battle to fight. They did not need those long robes, tripping them up, hanging them up, and getting in the way. So they had to tie them up and make it fixed so that those things were not causing them problems. Just like that, we need to know what is true and what is right. We've also talked about this week that you are created a masterpiece. That God has created you as a woman, that you are beautiful as you are. And if you are not settled on that truth, the simple truth of who you are and who God made you to be, that is the core of everything. The enemy, everything else hooks up to the belt of truth. So we've got to get that thing right first. John 8:32, if you want to jot down a verse, you can jot down 8:32. I've got a verse for every weapon we're talking about today. So you can look at that later if you want to do that. But John 8:32 says, and the truth will set you free. Why is it that he says the truth will set you free? Because if you're not fixed on the truth, the lies that the enemy brings you, he is called the father of lies, and every lie that comes at you, you will question, you will wonder, you'll be distracted by. So we have to know that the exact truth, and we cannot let the lies catch us or cause us to be wrapped and trapped. Okay, so we want to stand in truth. Truth is what will set you free. When I think about the enemy does have a few names, and I will share a few of them with you. The enemy is known as the liar, the father of lies, the angel of light, so he's disguised. The deceiver, he comes in when we don't even see it coming. He's a roaring lion. Sometimes it's loud, sometimes it's really obvious, but he comes in fighting. He's the accuser. He wants to call you things. He wants to put names on you that are not yours. You're daughter of the king, you're priceless, you're a masterpiece, you're beautiful, you're created in God's image. Those are the things that we're holding on to. He is the tempter. He will tempt you to do things that you know are not right. So we've got to know what is true. He is the ruler of demons and he is the dragon. So we, ladies, must stand on the truth that we know, the truth that's in God's word. We must be fixed on that. Okay, number two, the breastplate of righteousness. Guarding your heart to live rightly. So the breastplate of righteousness would cover this way, right? So cover your heart. Anchored to the belt of truth. Righteousness is a big word. It means right standing with God. That's how I like it, simple, easy terms. Big terms like righteousness kind of trip me up. Does anybody else get tripped up by big words? Yeah, I don't do big words well, so I keep it pretty simple. If you've given your life to Christ, he's adopted into his family. We are no longer an enemy of God. We are daughters of the King, and the breastplate is covering, just like Jesus' blood was shed for us, and it's because of Jesus' blood that we can be forgiven, we can be made right with God, we can have a relationship with him. That is all our heart. When we give our heart to Jesus, then he makes us right with God. It also reminds us that each day we are to walk rightly. We are to walk straight towards the Lord. Now, we know because of our flesh, we're going to have those times we're derailing. We're right and we're left and all that. But our goal is that as opposed to our life going like this down, we want our life to go as much as we can towards Jesus. So we're going to have some mountaintops, some valleys. We're going to kind of do this along the way. We all do. And that's okay. Thankfully, Jesus, every morning, the Bible says his mercies are new for each and every one of us. He extends us his grace. He extends us forgiveness. He extends us his eternal loving kindness that we don't ever have to earn. So as long as we are tethered to him and we know the truth and we're secure and we are found in him, we're just trucking along. We are fighting every day, putting on the belt of truth and putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. So it's important that our heart is tied to Jesus, that our heart has him on the throne, because when it doesn't, or if it doesn't, we have all sorts of other things that will clamor for that number one spot in our heart. So we cannot follow our emotions. We cannot follow our feelings. We have to have our heart settled on Jesus and Jesus alone. Number three, shoes of the gospel of peace. This is a character trait of God. Peace is a character trait of God. It means oneness or wholeness. Last night we talked about that we were created to know God, and that because of sin, we have a void in our heart, and our heart is longing to be filled. When we meet Jesus and he fills that void, our heart is at peace. So that means that everywhere you go, you are putting on the shoes of peace. You are bringing the good news, the gospel of peace, into every situation. So as a daughter of the King, I know who my Savior is. I am found in him, and I'm walking everywhere I go with the shoes of the gospel of peace. Last night we talked about wilderness seasons. Sometimes wilderness seasons are crisis of faith moments, meaning that we may look around us and question God. Why is this happening? Where are you? When those things happen, crisis of faith moments, it means that your faith is shaken. And when that happens, the enemy can get a foothold. He will rob us of peace. So we need to be sure that each day we are putting on the shoes of the gospel of peace, because he wants to shake our faith. He wants to get a foothold in those wilderness moments. Number four, shield of faith. Habakkuk 2:4 says, the righteous shall live by his faith. That is not your mother's faith, your pastor's faith, anybody else's faith. You will be able to fight your enemy with your faith in Jesus. Roman soldiers, years and years ago, when Paul was writing Ephesians, the shield of faith was big. It was really big, like as big as I am. But it was also covered in animal skin. So what's important is that today you might think it was wood, but it was actually animal skin. So they would take the shield, they would dip it in water and hold it up. Spiritually speaking, that's why Jesus says fiery darts are going to be coming at you, because fire and water don't work together. It says that you will extinguish the darts of the evil one. Those fiery darts that come up, if you will hold up that water shield of faith, they will extinguish those darts and put them out. Do not be tossed by the drama of your peers or the disappointments that come your way. Those are darts of the enemy. It is much easier to say than to do, but disappointments rattle me. What about you? Do disappointments rattle you, shake you a little bit? So it is important that our faith is not in us, is not in what we're accomplishing, not on our resume, not on the accolades we get at school or how many friends we have or anything else. It is important that our faith is put in Christ, that each day we hold up that shield of faith that will extinguish the darts of the enemy. All right, number five. Everybody say number five. Number five, this is the one that I have to work on like every minute of every day. Number five is the helmet of salvation. Your mind is a battlefield. And if you don't recognize it, it will not go well for you. A lot of things start up here. We've got to get our minds fixed on Christ. Right thinking about salvation rests on the work of Christ to save us, not on how we can save ourselves. Knowing that Jesus is all we need, resting in Christ's gift of grace, and not believing that you can work hard enough or be good enough to gain heaven is important. We have to have right thinking. The verses that I want to share with you today, I've got three of them, and I want you to listen really well, because in each of these three verses, there are two words that keep popping up. So don't say anything, but I want you to listen and see if you can capture the two words that are found in every verse. Are you ready? Maybe? Okay. All right. You look ready, but I know you're not saying anything. All right. So here we go. Romans 8:6 says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." Isaiah 26:3. Are you ready? Look for the common words. There's two of them. "You keep him," that's each one of us, "you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." Verse number three. Philippians 4:7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." There are two words that were found in every single verse. I need you to give me one of them. One. Peace. What was the other one? Mind. Your mind is a battleground. And if it is not fixed on the word of God, there will be no peace. If you will look at the world around you, people that don't know Christ, the world is a very confusing and messy place. There is no peace. So we have to have our helmet of salvation on. There are days I feel like I need 10 helmets. I'm like, Lord, I need a vice. My mind is so distracted, it is confused. The enemy is, all he can do is to get my mind fixed on everything that is not honoring or it is not right, and I am chasing after things that do not matter. So fix your mind on Christ. Put on the helmet of salvation so that your mind will be filled with peace. Number six, sword of the Spirit. Jesus modeled this for us, to use the sword of your spirit. The sword of the Spirit is God's word. We got to know it. We got to learn it. We need to study it. We need to memorize it. I was thinking about, I wonder, Angel, how many verses you and I have said just this week. If you're taking notes, I would be interested to know. We're not going to read it today, but if you want to look up the account where Jesus is in the wilderness, the enemy comes to him and the enemy tempts him. And time after time, Jesus refutes the enemy with the word of God. time after time. So I would encourage you, if you have time later today, read the account. It's Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And you will see a clear example, a beautiful example of Jesus, the one who walked this earth and lived a sinless life, how to fight using the Word of God. You know, this is one of those weapons that if you're like me, does anybody else have trouble in school? Anybody else? Okay, so that's where I am. So I tried to learn. I studied. When I was in middle school, I had a special history teacher who saw that I couldn't catch it all. There was so many facts, there were so many details, so much information. I couldn't get it. And so she pulled me aside one day, and we started tutoring, and she showed me all these different study methods. So from that point on, through high school, through college, I used every study method I was given. I wrote things down. Does anybody write things down? Helps you memorize? Highlight. Does anybody highlight? Underline? Does anybody use colors, like special color? All of it. Yes. Anybody say it out loud? Anybody make yourself flashcards? I mean, like, if there's another tool, I'd be happy to know it, because I have used everyone in the book. And studying and learning for me is so, so hard. I have to give myself grace because I am married to a very smart man. I will brag on my husband for a second. He can read a book. He has a whole library of books. He can read a book, and if you came to him and you said, hey, I'm struggling with, like, you know, so we'll just, like, take, you know, I just struggle with, like, lying. We'll just take one. And you know, really, it's like honoring my parents or something like that. He'd be like, oh, I got the book. And he can go to his library, he can pull the book, he can tell you what chapter and sometimes what page you need to study. It's incredible. When I read books, I'm like, it's kind of like a blank, I got nothing. All I can tell you is, like, this one says strong in battle, she talks about fighting spiritual warfare. That's about what I got. I'm like, oh yeah, because it says it on the cover. So some of us learn better than others. And guess what? That's okay. Just do it. Just take one verse a week if you have to. Take it one bit at a time. Don't let it overwhelm you that your best friend can memorize two chapters in a day. Do not let that rattle your cage. You stay focused and get in God's Word, whatever that looks like. Do you know that there is power in God's Word, and there is power in the name of Jesus? So when we learn it, when we speak it, when we can share it with a friend, even sharing your testimony, share that. Those things are powerful, and God will use His Word as a sword to help you navigate this life and to fight the enemy. The last tool that we're going to talk about is prayer. Prayer anytime, pray all the time, pray when you're in the car, pray when you're walking down the road, pray when you're going to see a friend, pray when you've got a sick family member, pray when you don't know what to do, when you've got a hard decision. Pray. Just pray all the time. Pray for all of it. God wants to hear from you. He wants to know what's going on in your heart and how it's kind of eating you up. And it's not that He doesn't even know those things. He knows it, but He wants you to get it out. So pray about it. Talk about it with Him, not with all your friends, with Him. Pray about it. If there's a friend that's kind of getting in your crawl and you're like, man, Lord, I don't know what to do about her, give it to Him. Tell Him about it. Walk off in the woods. That's what I do at my house. I just go walk around outside. I say, Lord, this is a problem. I don't know what to do about it. And, of course, the dog is looking at me like, what, heavens, lady, are you doing? I'm like, I'm fighting. I am fighting. That's how we fight our enemy. I have this book that I do want to share with you. It's a pretty cool book. So her name is Susie Larson. She does do, like, some videos and things online. She's great. But I'm going to share this little paragraph from her book. Here, it's pretty interesting. Here we go. On our own, which we know, oh gosh, on our own, that's never a good place to be, right? We need to be tied to Jesus. On our own, we're no match for the enemy of our souls. But in Christ, we are more than conquerors. What we know about Him, talking about Jesus, what we know about Christ now pales in comparison to what He wants us to know of Him. He wants you to know Him more and more each and every day. Oh, the love, the majesty, and the power of the living God, the one who established the heavens and the one who brings life to everything He created. The more we know of Him, the stronger we will grow in Him. We live in a day when people are in love with their own opinions. Everybody say, oh no. Yeah, it's not good. And think they know more than they do. Would you agree? I even have days where I think I know. I'm like, Bridget, I don't know anything. But we live in a day when people are in love with their own opinions. They think and know more than they do. To be mighty in battle, which is what we're talking about today, to be mighty in battle is to acknowledge that there's much we do not know. And that's okay, because we know the one who does know. So we've got to lean on Jesus. We've got to keep our eyes, our ears open. We need to be tethered to Jesus each and every day, and we need to pick up the weapons that he has given us. Let's pray. God, we love you, we love you, we love you, and we are so thankful that we are not living this life alone. We are so thankful for the victory that we have in Jesus, and we are so thankful that we can stand. Even today, right in this moment, we can stand because you are victorious. We can fight these day-to-day battles because you are victorious. We do not have to be rattled by the darts that the enemy throws at us. We don't have to get trapped in a cage. Lord, we can stand against those things because you are victorious. So I pray today you would help each one of us walk in that victory. Girls, as we're praying, I'm going to give you a minute to pray, just right where you are. I'm going to lead you through each of these pieces of armor. And so in the quietness of this moment, just right where you are, I want you to pray and strap on the belt of truth. So that means I want you to ask God to say, Lord, help me stand in my identity in Christ today. Lord, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. So maybe you pray something like, Lord, help me do right today. Help me do and say things that honor you today. Then we're putting on the shoes of peace. God, help us to bring peace to every situation today. Help me to not stir up conflict, but help me to walk in peace. God, we're putting up the shield of faith. Maybe you ask God to strengthen your faith. Then we're putting on the helmet of salvation. So pray, maybe you pray something like, Lord, help me to keep my mind fixed on you. Help me to not be confused by the lies or the traps of the enemy. And lastly, the sword of the Spirit. I don't know how much you know God's word. I don't know if you've never opened your Bible, but you do. So you pray and ask God to teach his word to you. Maybe you say, Lord, I need help memorizing. Maybe you say, Lord, I need a study buddy, somebody who will help me. God, we thank you for these weapons. We thank you, Lord, that even though there's an enemy that we cannot see, we know he is at work, and Lord, you have given us the weapons to fight. So Lord, I pray that even as we walk from this place today, we would be standing in your truth and standing strong because you have given us the victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.